Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, it's great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Indeed, questions that come in from around the world, from Japan, Hungary, Mexico City, Puerto Rico, Nigeria, India. This broadcast making a difference all over the world. Do remember our contact information. Write it down if you haven't done so already. It is via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the web, equip.org, and our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Right to the phone calls. Ali, listening in Miami, Florida, on the web. Hi.
Yes, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes, I heard Jimmy Swaggart say, only Christian hymn music is Christian, and today's Christian music is not Christian. So what are your thoughts?
There's a wide variety of music that is supported by the Bible. Remember the Apostle Paul urging us to sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we have to look at that wide variety and saying that singing psalms is a fantastic way for intercession or instruction, even the internalization of Scripture. And then the great hymns of the faith have stood the test of time. They're rich in theological tradition and truth. And spiritual songs, in turn, they preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage, but they also communicate the freshness of the faith. Now, there is an argument to be made that many people writing spiritual songs today are both historically and biblically illiterate, and therefore, when they write their music, it hardly reflects a Christian worldview in an unsuspecting Christian culture that is itself biblically illiterate, drinks the Kool-Aid. It's crucial that we preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage and a regard for contemporary compositions, but we have to be wary of excessive repetition or musical mantras that produce hypersuggestibility. They're rampant in the church today. Next up is Tom. He's listening in Kansas. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you.
I had a question on 1 Peter 3:18-20. When it talks about Christ ministering to the spirits in the abyss or the imprisoned, Is that during the days of Noah that he's ministering to through Noah, or is that during the time of his crucifixion where he goes down and talks to these people of God's forbearance and patience? Or is that, I'm having a hard time understanding exactly what it's talking about. I read works even talking about maybe the spirit of Christ going down and talking to the demons that came down and inhabited the earth for a while and had relations with the women on earth. Just exactly what is that passage talking about there?
Well, I think the latter idea can be ruled out immediately because demons are asexual, aphysical beings, and therefore they can't have sex with women. So you can take that one off the table. What I think that this passage is clearly teaching is that just as the Spirit of Jesus preached through the lips of Noah to the people of Noah's day, who, by the way, were then in the flesh, but at the writing of Peter's epistle were disembodied spirits in the prison house of Hades. So in the days preceding the fall of Jerusalem, this is the context of Peter, of course, the Spirit of Jesus was preaching through Peter and the persecuted church to a pagan world that Peter talks about drowning in a flood of dissipation. So the point here is that the disobedient that died in Noah's day, in Peter's day, and for that matter, in our day, comprise spirits in prison or souls in Hades who are still awaiting a final day of judgment in which they will be sentenced and then sent to an eternal prison, namely hell. By the way, I write about this in my book, Afterlife. You could find it on the web at equip.org or just hang on to get a copy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Michael. He's listening in Arkansas. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Well, my question was regarding Molinism. Some time back, I became aware of looking at Reformed theology, and then I started listening to William Lane Craig, and he was talking about Molinism and middle knowledge, and I wanted to see if you thought that was something that was biblical.
Well, it's not unique to William Lane Craig, and obviously those in the Reform camp wouldn't be very happy with the idea. This is the brainchild of Louis de Molina, who was a 16th century Jesuit priest who was reacting to the strong or hard determinism that was being communicated by Luther and Calvin and other Protestant reformers. And what Molina saw was middle knowledge, a way of reconciling God's sovereignty with human free will. The view is orthodox. It's consistent with biblical teaching, but as mentioned, not all theologians and philosophers of religion hold to this view. And certainly Reformed theologians are particularly critical of the view. But if there really is such a thing as creaturely libertarian freedom, as I believe there is, then Molinism is a view worth considering. I'm not saying it's the view I hold, but certainly a view worth considering. And as I said, well within the pale of orthodoxy. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Josh, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hey, Hank. I had a quick question, and then I'll get off the phone so I can listen to you on the radio. I pray to Jesus personally, and so a lot of people I know, a lot of pastors, will pray to the Father, and then they'll kind of say, in Jesus' name, amen. And so, I mean, the way I guess I pray is I pray directly to Jesus, so I don't have to say, in Jesus' name, amen. But, you know, scriptures like, I and the Father are one, kind of brought me to go, you know, why am I not talking directly to Jesus? He's my mediator and my Savior. Now, I praise the Father and Spirit also in my prayers, but I guess my main prayer is to Christ. So I was wondering if you could kind of elaborate on your thoughts about how to pray.
Sure. Thank you. The Lord himself taught us how to pray, and I pray this prayer every day, sometimes multiple times. In fact, every day multiple times. Can say that with all integrity. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then I append the words, as you find in Scripture, for thine is the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the emphasis there, of course, is the fact that our Lord taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. So praying to our Heavenly Father in the name of our Mediator Jesus Christ and through the power of our Counselor, the Holy Spirit, is thoroughly biblical. But remember, we are always praying to the one God, revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, and to address the persons in the Godhead, because there are subject-object distinctions within the Godhead, is perfectly appropriate. And so there are times I revel in thanking Jesus for saving me from my sins. There are times in which I beg the Holy Spirit to imbue me, to infill me, so that what I do is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. There are times in which I pray that the Father will restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. So we pray to the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. There's no formula other than what Jesus taught us to pray. And by the way, when I pray the prayer of Jesus, or the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, it is not just a vain repetition, because Jesus warns against babbling like pagans who think that they're going to be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. What we're taught to do in Scripture is to take each one of those statements, and then they become a means by which we pray in full and in earnest. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That, for example, is a point of departure in which we can pray that through our lives his name might be made holy, his name might be sanctified. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 explains the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ, life in the Trinity. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. And even now, we are called to experience life that is life to the full. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the story of a transformed life. Hank Hanegraaff passionately proclaims that truth matters and equips readers to defend the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain why his life and ministry were radically transformed by a three-word phrase, life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And we return to our callers after this quick note that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries around the world. With your ongoing support and appreciation, you receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. It's easy to go and do it. That'd be so hard to have the motivation. And honestly, I only want you to do that if the Holy Spirit motivates you to do that. If the Spirit of God motivates you to give, then that giving is meaningful. And it will touch the lives of people around the world. I mean, after all, we're here for a short period of time. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Partnering with this ministry in the battle for life and truth makes a transcendent difference. I can tell you that with all integrity. I see the testimonies. The impact of the ministry far surpasses anything that I could imagine. And that's why I always say, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. This is not something that we can do, but God is condescending to do through us. So support us, stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do it in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Again, back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Justin in McAllister, Oklahoma. Hi, Justin.
Hello. My question is, as a kid, I had a Christian stepmother who always told me to watch out for what I saw on television, specifically witchcraft, cartoons, things of that nature. As I got older, I started noticing these things increasing in television and pagan-style symbols going worldwide all over the place and really bad in TV. And I'm trying really hard to point this out to people so that they're kind of aware of it. My mother now tells me it's just TV. You know, Jesus wouldn't want you to worry about it. You're wasting your time. Just live your life. He wants you to be happy. My preacher, who just took over the local movie theater showing kids these movies, told me that I was pretty much way off course. Am I wrong for trying to point these things out?
Well, I think the real issue ultimately is a recognition that pagans are going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans, and you, in the midst of that, need to be an informed Christian, always ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. So when you see paganism in all of its various forms, you can use such paganism as springboards, opportunities to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. So the real problem is not that pagans are dispensing all kinds of toxic material. It is that Christians are not equipped to communicate truth. And if Christians were equipped to communicate truth, then what would happen? The culture itself would change. The reason the culture is degenerating is because salt gives a preservative quality to the culture. But when the salt, Jesus said, has lost its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Should you be concerned about these things? Absolutely. Is it just a matter of, as your mother said, be happy? No, it's a matter of being holy. And happiness is always dependent on happenings. True joy comes from the inner peace that Christ brings to the human heart. But again, the real bottom line issue in all of this, Justin, is to be not a cultural conformist, but a cultural change agent. Back to the phone lines, Elijah, listening in Hillsborough, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Elijah.
Hi. My question is about interracial marriage and what the Bible has to say about it.
Well, there's no such thing in biblical vernacular. I mean, we're just all people. Some people have more pigmentation than others. Some people have brown eyes. Some people have blue eyes. Some people have blonde hair. Some people have black hair. But we're all human beings. And so we have no problem whatsoever marrying people with different genetic distinctions. What we do have a problem with is being unequally yoked. And the reason is that if you're unequally yoked, it's like having an ox and a horse trying to pull a cart. In essence, what's going to happen is the cart is going to be torn apart because of the different gait and the different direction and the different proclivities. And so the goal for believers is to marry other believers so that together they have spiritual union as well as psychophysical pleasure and the propagation of children.
So I know Paul said something about not mixing religions, you know, that's the biggest thing. But I'm only 15, and I've just got a few questions, you know, that's my question. But, like, I don't know, it's still, so it's okay, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Well, of course it's okay. There's absolutely nothing whatsoever to preclude that, because the real issue now is how committed you are to one another in the principles of life. This is something that you find commonality in Christ, but it has nothing to do with your genetic makeup.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thanks.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for calling, Elijah. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Chris in Sacramento, California. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Hank. I hope I can formulate this question. How do we defend the God of the Old / New Testament in contrast to radical Islam and so-called peaceful Muslims' argument that there is no difference between the two? I don't know if that gets my point across, but I hear it often.
Yeah, it is communicated often. In truth, however, if you contextualize the Old Testament properly, you find that the system of jurisprudence in the Old Testament exceeded even that of modern jurisprudence. So if someone was extravagantly wicked and their wicked behavior was threatening the health and safety of an entire community, then within this Jewish theocratic kingdom, there was a precedent for capital punishment. But the process by which capital punishment would be exacted was very, very stringent. So first of all, I think that there's a big problem when we try to take the Mosaic law and compare that Mosaic law in the context of a theocracy to what happens in a modern day democracy. Not only that, but if you think about what happens today in Muslim countries, I was speaking in Iran a few years ago at the University of Tehran and Alameh Tebetiba, their sociology university. You look at the context of a Muslim theocracy and you see things such as, worse than stoning perhaps, beheadings. Well, I'm actually not sure which is worse. I watched modern day versions of both actually happening not long ago, not in person, obviously, but on the web, and it is a grotesque thing to see someone stoned to death. But you don't see this in any kind of a Christian context, but you most certainly do see this within Muslim context. So the idea, somehow or other, that first of all, we take what happened within a Jewish theocracy, God's direct rule over a people in the Old Testament, and then anachronistically rip it out of its context and apply it in today's culture, simply is misguided. Remember what Jesus said? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. If you had stonings within a Christian culture, it would be defying that principle. In Muslim theocracies, such as what you would find in the kingdom, Saudi Arabia, or in Iran, this is part of Sharia law. And Muhammad was doing the very thing as a prophet that the prophet Jesus would never do. So ultimately, in Christianity, there's a time in which all wrongs will be made right, and that time is not in the present epoch. It is in the time when Jesus appears. And then judgment will be rightly meted out. In other words, with complete perfection by a God of ultimate love and justice. But the bottom line answer to your question is that we shouldn't make a false dichotomy between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament as though they're different gods. And this is one of the big mistakes that are made in part in the argument that there's a different God of the Old Testament than the God of the New Testament. But if you want to see the most brutal act in all of human history, you don't find it in the Old Testament, you find it in the New Testament, because you have the most innocent, a completely innocent God-man who is crucified and suffers more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we can be redeemed. Flat out of time for this edition. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.